when you learn this piece, just remind yourself, even though, yes, everyone's created B'Tselem Elokim, and yes, there are many different mahalchim in how a Jew approaches the world, right? But remind yourself, you don't have to feel sorry for the Nazis when you read this piece. You know what I'm saying? Feel sorry for the Jews. It's easy sometimes, because we're so sophisticated, to identify, you know, try to make sense of why the oppressor is justified, and we lose a certain simple, obvious, basic understanding of how things are. I want to introduce this piece actually by reading you a Dvar Torah from Rabbi Yisachar Friend. Okay, that's when I started to read this piece immediately. I thought of a story from Rav Huttner that Rabbi Friend had told. So I want to share this piece with you. First of all, we learned one time, I think it was on a Sunday, the Malbim's explanation of Avraham's conversation with Abimelech when Tsar was taken captive. And Abimelech says to Avraham, like, I don't understand. Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? Why did you tell me it's your sister? We're good people here. And Rav Chanan Wasserman, the student of Chafetz Chaim, who was killed, Hashem should avenge his blood in the Holocaust. So he met with a group of rabbis in Germany in the 1930s, and he told them this Malbim, because he understood what was happening. He understood what was right around the corner. So the Malbim says that Abimelech says to Avram, I don't get it. Why don't you just tell us, you know, why don't you tell me this is your wife? We would have taken her, we would have left her alone. You don't think that we have laws in this land? You don't think that we're an ethical people? And who remembers? What's Avram's response to Abimelech? I believe you have laws. And I believe that you believe that you're an ethical people. But Avram says, but you're missing the main ingredient. What's the main ingredient, Chavra? Yiras Hashem. If you don't have Yiras Hashem, so your man-made laws can very quickly become chaotic. Vayomer Avimelech al Avraham. Ma ra'isa ki asisa sedavar azeh. Parshas Vayera. Bereishis Parachof. Why'd you do this to us? Why'd you do this to me? Vayomer Avram ki amarti rak ein yiras Elohim b'makom hazeh. Because I understood, I recognized that there's no fear of God in this place. And therefore, even though you'll tell me, what do you mean? We never allow someone to take another person's wife. But I'm sure you could also find some type of legal loophole, Vaharaguni al Devar Ishti, to kill me and to justify your behavior and to make it fit in the law, right? To justify whatever, you know, end result you want. So Avram says, if there's no Yiras Elokim, if there's no objective law, if there's no Torah, that's what Torah is, objective law, I don't have to understand anything. Hashem says this is true and this is correct. So if I believe that, which I do, and I think we all do, I hope we all do, if I believe the Torah is real, then I don't have to explain anything. I trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a system that is not subject to the whims and the desires of a person. And when Rav Chanan Wasserman shared this Malbim with those German rabbis in the 1930s, many of them said, no, what does that mean? The German people? The Germans are such moral, ethical, cultured people. They could never do such a thing. Rabbi Friend tells the following. Rabbi Friend says that Rav Reuben Bolka of Ottawa, Canada, recalls attending cheder in Germany during Kristallnacht. One of the children ran into the classroom and informed the Rebbe that his house was on fire. The Rebbe immediately telephoned the fire department and reported the fire, but his pleas for assistance fell on deaf ears. He got through to the fire chief, but to no avail. We're sorry, said the fire chief. We can't put out the fire. It's against the law. It was now against the law to put out fires in Jewish homes. Germany was still a land of laws. That hadn't changed. Only the law had changed. All the culture and the civilizations meant nothing. When there's no fear of God in the place, the law means nothing, because the law can just change to fit, right? It's on the books. What do you mean? It's what it says on the books. Avram says, Ein Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. If there's no Yiras Shamayim, then there's no guarantees that your law will be objectively ethical. It may come up with rules to fit your needs, like a law that you're not allowed to put out a fire in a Jewish home. And then he tells the following. This is what I remember. It reminded me of this essay from this shir, this shmuz, from Rabbi Friend. He says that when Rav Yitzchak Kuttner was learning in Slobodka, Rav Avram Elia Kaplan came back to the yeshiva after spending some time in Germany. Rav Avram Elia Kaplan was an amazing, a very amazing Torah personality. He died very young. Very fascinating person. Very worldly person. And the Alter of Slobodka invited Rav Avram Elia to convey to the yeshiva his impression of the German people. What were they like? It seems to me that the Germans are a kind and refined people. When you ask directions from someone, he will give you precise instructions for getting there, and then he will say to you, nicht wahr? Which means, is it not so? Right? Like, you say to someone, like, I have no idea how to go, how do I get to this place? Oh, you make a left, and then a right, and then two more blocks down, and then a left. Isn't that right? Like, you're asking the person because you don't know. Right? But as a way of, almost like an expression of humility, like, isn't that so? Isn't that so? Right? It's a very cultured way of speaking. He also knows perfectly well that he doesn't need nor can he expect any confirmation from you. And still he says in such a deferential tone, right? Isn't it so? I see this as a sign of refinement. The Germans are a refined people. That's what Rav Avram Elia Kaplan reported back from his impression from being in Germany. At this point, an argument broke out among the students of the Slobodky Yeshiva. Some argued, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner amongst them, and we've been learning some of Rav Kuttner's Pachad Yitzchak, that we should seek to learn good traits only from the Holy Torah, the repository of all desirable ethics and values, and not from the Germans or any other Gentile communities. Besides, if they were not rooted in the Torah, it was quite possible that refined manners were no more than a superficial cloak for a dark interior. I disagree, declared one student. A wise person learns from everyone. If we see something admirable among the Gentiles, we should give credit where credit is due and adopt it for ourselves as well. I think this practice of saying, isn't it so, or is it not so, is a sign of politeness, refinement, and a very becoming modesty. We should learn from the virtues of the Germans. And there's good basis, by the way, for such a shita. Right? The Rambam writes that we should accept wisdom from wherever it comes. So it's a beautiful midah. Rav Kuttner was nervous about it. This is not simple to read. Listen to this. Nearly 50 years later, Rav Kuttner was saying a shir in Yeshiva Schai in Berlin when an old man walked in. He sat in the back and waited until the shir was over, and then he approached Rav Kuttner. You don't remember me, do you? He said. I am the student at Slobodka who argued with you about admiring the refined manners of the Germans. Ah, of course I remember you, said Rav Kuttner. It's good to see you again after all these years. He reached out to take the old man's hand, but there was only a hook where the hand should have been. Rav Kuttner's hand remained suspended in midair. I lost my arm in the concentration camps, the old man explained. When the Nazi was sawing off my right hand, he kept saying, this is hurting you, nicht wahr? Right? This is hurting you, isn't it? The pain is intense, isn't it? And even as I was screaming as if my lungs would burst, he was smiling all the time, such a gentle and refined smile. Rabbi Yitzchak, he says to Rav Kuttner, Rabbi Yitzchak, you were right, and I was wrong. Super intense. And Rabbi Fran concludes, when there's no fear of the Lord in this place, right? When there's no Yiras Elokim, when people live by their own rules, all the culture and refined manners mean nothing. It was true in Grar, it was true in Germany, and it is true everywhere. Now again, I know some of you probably, there's a part of you that, right? There's a part of me that has a hard time. What? It's an impossibility? And again, right? Maybe the Mida that German person represented, if couched within a framework of Torah, actually is a beautiful and polite way to speak. But the point that Avram Avinu made is that if it's not rooted in a chachmas elokis, if it's not rooted in a godly wisdom, then it's subject to change at any point. And a person who's a fine and sensitive and ethical person could become a monster in a second. Okay, so with that introduction, and again, we're learning Eish Kodesh. Right? This is not, we're not making the comparison. We're reading it from someone who's sitting, you know, in the grasp, so to speak, of the Nazis, Yimach Shemo, and Haman, and Amalek. Right? So it's very clear what the Rebbe's talking about here. Let's see. Zachor, this Shabbos we're going to read, Zachor Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. Those who just walked in, we're on page Nun Gimel. Remember what Amalek did to you, Baderech, B'tzeischem Mitzrayim. Asher Karcha Baderech, they encountered you on the way. Right? And Rashi has many explanations of Karcha, Lashon of Keri, which is Tuma, Lashon of Kar, which is cold, Lashon of Mikra, which is happenstance, they happened upon you. Vayizani Becha, Kol Enecha Shalom Acharecha. And they cut down the weaklings. They targeted, right? They targeted the innocent. They targeted the most vulnerable. They shot rockets and missiles at children's hospitals and maternity wards. Yeah, sick people. So it'll be that when you finally settle into Eretz Yisrael and you fortify yourself, the land that Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosim Lecha Nachla L'Rishta, Timcha Azzecher Amalek Mitachas Hashamayim Lo Tishkaf. Don't forget. Don't forget what you experienced here. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. So says the Rabbi, I want to ask a simple question. Where should we erase Amalek? Timcha Azzecher Amalek, where? Mitachas Hashamayim. Funny way to talk, no? Give me another way to say mitachas hashamayim. How about ba'aretz? Right? Under the heavens. Erase Amalek from under the heavens. What does that mean, under the heavens? V'navina ma mitachas hashamayim. Why does it say mitachas hashamayim? Under the shamayim? Why doesn't it say min ha'aretz? B'makom shel Amalek nimtza. Say it the way it actually is. Erase Amalek from the place that they're found, which is in the world. Erase Amalek from the earth. So first the Rebbe gives a simple answer. The first simple answer the Rebbe says, Ve'efshar kevan shashamayim kisi, since Yeshaya, Navi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that what? That the shamayim is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, is the end of the pasuk. Ve'ein hakisei shalim ad sheyimcha zaro shalamalek. And as we've said many times, Rashi at the end of Bishalach tells us that Hashem says, my throne cannot be complete until Amalek is erased. And Shemayim is synonymous with what? With Hashem's throne. So erase Amalek mitachas HaShemayim. They're sort of sitting right beneath my throne. They're blocking me, kviyachol, from ascending my throne, Hashem says. So get rid of Amalek mitachas HaShemayim. Get them out of the way of my Shemayim, which is my throne. Again, where do we see that Amalek blocks the throne of Hashem? What are the pesukim at the end of Bishalach? Ki yad al kase ka. There's a hand of Amalek on the case. Chaf samach. Right? Yod and hey. Right? Case is really kisei. But Amalek steals the letter aleph. And yod and hey is really yod and hey and vav and hey. But Amalek steals the vav and hey. Those are the three letters that Amalek takes away. They take away the aleph from kisei. They've diminished Hashem's throne. And they've diminished Hashem's name. It's only two letters instead of four letters. And that's what Rashi says. That Hashem says, my kisei will not be complete, my name will not be complete until Amalek is eradicated. Hashem feels that his name and his throne have been damaged by Amalek. It's a very crazy idea. So again, the Amalek is tachas HaShemayim. Again, if Shemayim is the throne, right? So picture Amalek as like right beneath the throne. It's sort of like they're blocking the throne. You know, they're like stopping Hashem from being able to, you know, they've kind of taken over the throne. So if we remove Amalek from Tachas HaShemayim, they're right in front of the throne. If we remove them from right in front of the throne, then Hashem, kiviyachol, can go sit on his throne. That's the idea. That's the imagery. That's the Tachas HaShemayim. Right? Ve'ein hakisei shalim ad sheyimcha zaro shamalek. Hashem's throne is incomplete until Amalek is eradicated. L'chei nemar timcha mitachas HaShemayim. Get rid of Amalek, which is blocking the Shemayim. Ad shetashuv hakisei lios shalim. So that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can get back onto his throne. Interesting idea. However, just to point out very quickly, there's a lot of very interesting ideas in Ramazim, right? But one of the psukim that we say, Yihi Chavod, every morning, or we try to at least, depending on the pace of the minyan, yeah? So one of the things that we say is, Kivachar Hashem B'tzion, Hashem chose, Hashem desires Tzion, Iva L'moshav Lo. Now, if you look at the word Eva, what is it? It's an aleph, and it's a vav, and it's a hey. Those are the three letters that Amalek stole from us. So we daven, right? Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, Eva l'moshav lo. Hashem wants to restore Tzion, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis Hamikdash, Hashem's throne, Hashras Hashchina. All those expressions of Hashem, you know, being a presence in our world. Hashem chose Tzion. Hashem wants to manifest himself, to be recognized as the king of the world, and to establish his kingdom in Sion. Iva l'moshavla. But he needs the aleph, and he needs the vav, and he needs the hey, in order to restore his name and to restore his throne. It's actually even a little bit more than that, because there's two times in the Torah that it says that the Jewish people were on the run. Once as an individual and a family, and one as the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Twice in the Torah it says ki barach, that someone found out, ki barach, that someone had fled. Who are the two places in the Torah where someone's on the run? Yeah. So when we leave Mitzrayim, it says ki barach, that, right, but yugad leparo, Paro is informed ki barach, that the Jews have snuck away. Okay, where's the other one?
Yaakov,
it's not Yaakov and Esav. It's Yaakov does run away from there, but that's not where it says the ki barach. The ki barach is when Yaakov leaves Beis Lavan. He packs up his wife and his children, and he leaves, and Lavan comes chasing after him. Whoa, you're sneaking away in the middle of the night. You didn't give me a chance to kiss my children and grandchildren goodbye. The very ethical Lavan. His name is Lavan. Right, white, pure, innocent, right? Biggest, I love how Aramis or Amai is a manipulator, he's the ultimate manipulator, double speak, such a faker. But he says, like, Yaakov, where's your manners? Where's your decency? Yeah, I know who I'm dealing with. Thank you very much, says Yaakov. Right? That's when Yaakov stands up to Lavan. But the two times in the Torah it says, ki barach. Once when Yaakov runs from Lavan, and again, on a more Klal Yisrael level, when we run out of Mitzrayim. Okay? So the Balaturim points out that who informed Lavan that Yaakov snuck away? Right? Who was the spy? Who ratted this out? And who informed Paro? But you got the Paro. It became known to Paro. How did it become known? So the Balaturim says it's hinted to in the Gematria. Balaturim always says Gematrias. It's hinted to in the Gematria of Ki Varach. What's the Gematria of Ki Varach? So Ki is a Chaf and a Yod. A 20 and a 10 is 30. Barach. Beis, Reish, Ches. 210. So what is it? Ki barach is? Ki barach is 30 and 210 is 240. 240 is?
Malik.
Is a Malik. All right, so the Baal Turim says it was a Malik in both places. A Malik the person, a Malik the people who ratted us out. Ki barach is Gematria Malik. So now look at this pasuk a little more carefully and then we go back to Ish Kodesh. What do we say in Yehi Chavod? Ki bachar. You see it's the same letters? Bachar and barach are the same letters. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion. You hear? Ki bachar is Gematria Malik. Ki bachar, the response to the ki barach of a Jew always being on the run of being persecuted is reminding ourselves that ki bachar Hashem, that Hashem has chosen. Ki bachar is Gematria Malik. It's the anti-Amalik. Ki bachar Hashem b'tzion, Iva l'moshav lo. Iva, Aleph vav hay. When we get back the Aleph of Hashem's kisei, when we get back the vav hay of Hashem's name, right? Then Hashem can establish himself. The pasuk itself is from Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Beis. Okay, so that's the first thing, right? Tachas Hashemayim. Why is a Malik sort of right below the heavens? Why doesn't it say erase a Malik from the earth? Because they're trying to block the Shemayim. And as the Navi Yeshaya says, Hashemayim Kis'i. The Shemayim is my throne, Hashem says. So I need a Malik to be removed so I can get back to sitting, so to speak, on my throne. Okay? Good. Then the Rebbe says, I have a lot more to say. It's a longer piece. And again, the situation, as I told you, in Adar of 1940, March of 1940, was very dire. It'll become very clear when we do next week in Yiratz Hashem, the piece on Purim. You'll see how broken up the Rebbe is. But it happens to be, I always tell you, this piece on Purim changed my life, changed my whole perspective on Purim. I can only enjoy Purim because of this piece. So the Rebbe's pain, not to find joy in someone else's pain, but his suffering and his perspective helped me to really understand the essence of Purim, which we'll talk about. But the Rebbe says, let me tell you more about why I think it's mitachas hashamayim. Okay, listen to these words, it's very sharp. Od efshar ki isa b'medrash. The Medrash says on Al Asher Karcha. Asher Karcha milashon kriris. A Malik encountered you on the way. Karcha doesn't just mean they happened upon you. It means kar. They cooled you off. Karcha. They made you cold. Mashal ambati rotachas shalo haisa briya yachol leirid v'soicha. A mashal of an ambati, of a bath, of a hot pot of water that no one could go into, a bathtub, boiling hot. Ba ben b'li'al echad v'kafat l'socha. One foolish person jumps in, even though he scalded himself, he burnt himself, he cooled it off before others. Afkan, so to hear. When when we left Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were on top of the world. We were recognized for being very powerful because we had a powerful God. And Hashem split the sea before us. V'nishtaku ha-mitzrim l'socho. And Hashem drowned out the world power, the enemy, the best of Mitzrayim, their finest soldiers, all drowned. So nafal pacht an kol ha-umos. The nations of the world were terrified of us. Right? We were that hot bath. No one would touch us. Shenemar oz nivalu alufei Edom. The whole world was quaking. They were trembling. Kevan shaba amalek v'nizdavig lahem. But as soon as Amalek said, we're not scared to start up with the Jews. You're going to get burnt. We don't care. We don't care. Kamikaze style, you know. We'll crash and burn to mess up someone else. We're willing to kill ourselves as long as we take you down with us. So Amalek, in their rishus, in their chutzpah, they came and they encountered us. Afal pisha natal es shalom. Mitachas yadon hikiru lefnei umas olam. Even though Amalek got what they deserved, so to speak, right? Like the mashal of the bath. The guy who jumps in first got burnt. But he cooled it off for everyone else. So too Amalek says, we're not going to let the Jews be on top of the world. That's crazy. Their hatred for us was so much that what? They were prepared to hurt themselves just to drag us down. So they cooled us off, lifnei umas ha'olam, hainu krirus bifnei acherim. That's the mashal of the Medrash Tanchuma. Amalek cooled us off in the eyes of others. That's the Pashut explanation of Asher Karcha. What does it mean they cooled us off? They cooled us off that once they started up with us, right? So now we were not as impressive in the eyes of the world. We're not untouchable anymore. And other people also now decided, okay, we can also start up with the Jews. We also don't have to be afraid of the Jews. But however, of course, you know, and you probably almost think it's the Pashut Pshat, because on a certain level it is, that the Asher Karcha is not just that what? That we became cooled off in the eyes of others. But what does Amalek do to us? Zachor is Asher Asal Lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. When Amalek starts up with you, when you think you're doing great and then your Yetzirah drags you down, so it's not just that now you're susceptible to doing other Averos. But it's that your perspective of self has changed. Right? You're not confident in yourself anymore. Forget what other people are going to do. Aval b'svarim hakadoshim, he says here, if you look in the Ma'or v'Shemesh, if you look in the Avodas Yisrael, Isa karcha shekir es Yisrael atzmam b'kriros. They didn't just cool us off in the eyes of others, like the Medrash says, but they caused us to lose our own fire. Again, it's one thing to believe in yourself and for someone else to not recognize you for who you are. But what's even more evil is if someone can convince you that you're a nobody and you believe it about yourself. That's what Amalek did. Asher karcha baderech. They cooled us off. Not just making us susceptible to the attacks of others, but that we should think that we're a bunch of losers. That we should be cold. We should be cold Jews. They extinguished our fire. So the Rebbe asks, how could that be? How's that possible? A bunch of tamei Amalekim come and they start up with you and they start, and all of a sudden, what, you lose your confidence? How did we lose ourselves so quickly? How were we so quickly cooled off? The Rebbe says three lines from the bottom. Ben Avi Na, Eichai Yachol Amalek. How could it be that Amalek, who's Shayasonam, your enemy says bad things about you? So you laugh at the. Of course you say bad. You hate me. You're just jealous of me. How did we buy into their narrative? How did that happen? Uvala Hargon. They're coming to kill us. They're coming to attack us. Chas v'chalila. How is it possible? Od Lekarosam. How did they cool us off? How did they cause us to change our perspective on ourselves? That we should take the advice of people who hate us and want evil, want to destroy us? Why would I listen? How did we get that bug called the Amalek into our head? It's one thing, again, for them to attack us physically. But how did they manipulate our perspective? That's also what the word karcha means. Lashon keri, it's a tumma. Right? They must have used a real koach of tuma in order to somehow to get into our heads. Turn the page, says the Rebbe. Aval merames lanu gam lizeh. Now he's going to say something that we're not going to understand, and that's okay. Because we're not Kabbalists, so it's okay if we don't understand everything. Right? At the very least, so why learn it? Why don't you skip this next paragraph? Because it'll remind us that there's a lot of things we don't know, and that'll inspire us to want to know more. Aval merames lanu gam lizeh. Ki isa b'sifrei kvod kedushas Adoni Avi Meiri. In the writings of my Holy Father, we find the following idea. Where did Amalek attack us, Chevra? Zachor, Eis Asher Asa Lecha, Amalek? Bederach. They attacked us on the road. Right? Bederach Tzeischem Mitzrayim, on our way out of Mitzrayim. So he says, my holy father wrote in his Svarim that Derech hu bechinas machshava. Okay? That's going to be very important. The Derech, we'll take his word for it, Derech is sometimes a code word for thought, for machshava. So remember how Amalek, what? Attacked your mind. They didn't just attack our bodies. They didn't just wage war against us. The Pasuk says, Vayilachim Amalek, right? Amalek started up with us. They attacked us. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachim im Yisrael berafidim, the Pasuk says in Bishalach. They started up with us and they waged war against us. Right? But it was also a war of words and a war of thoughts. They infiltrated our machshava. They got into our heads. So let me say two things. Number one, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin, Bisimcha. Right? Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin, Bisimcha. The Zohar says Bisimcha is the same letters as Machshava. Interesting. See it? Bisimcha is the same letters as Machshava. So what do we do in the month of Adar? We try, right? We try to Marbin Bisimcha means Marbin B'Machshava also. We try to fortify our minds. Yeah? We need to strengthen our mental resolve. So that when Amalek comes and tries to put crazy ideas in your head, you have the mental and emotional fortitude to say, no way, I'm not listening to that. Yishenichnas Adar, you know that Amalek's around the corner, you know they're coming to get you. Watch your back, so what do? How do I fight back? I know they attack on the Derech, and apparently Al Pi Pnimiyas HaTorah, Derech is synonymous with what? With Machshava. So when Amalek is lurking, what do I need to do? Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin, Bisimcha. Bisimcha is Osios Machshava, says the Zohar. I have to strengthen my mind. I need to make sure that they don't put their sick, tame ideas into my head. What's the Vin HaHalfachu, of course? What's the punchline? The punchline on Purim is we say, you know what? No matter how much I tried to guard my mind, I don't feel strong enough to fight off Amalek. So Hashem says, I have another plan. We'll play a trick on Amalek. You know what we'll do? You won't even have a mind. They can't mess with your mind if you don't have a mind, right? Can't get into your head if you don't have a head. So Adlo Yada, right? You go to a place called Adlo Yada, right? To a place of, like we learned in, you know, about Rebbe's Maimer, Reisha de Lois Yada. We'll go to the highest place beyond the crown of the seers. We'll go to the safest place in the world. And again, you have to be, to obviously, drink wine in the right way on Purim to get there. Otherwise, you're just making yourself more susceptible to a Malik. That would be a terrible idea, right? But Mishnechnas Yayin Yatzasod, right? If a Jew knows how to drink in the right way, so he's able to uncover the secret, and a Malik is trying to infiltrate your mind, you'll say, I don't have a mind. Go pick on someone else. I don't have a mind. There's no mind for you to infiltrate. But again, the avoda leading up to Purim is what is Marbin B'machshava, is to strengthen my machshava. Because most of the year, I hope, right, we're not Adalayada. Our brains are intact, and therefore we need to fortify, we need to strengthen our brains. Okay? So what did I introduce that was so Kabbalistic that's too hard to understand? We'll keep reading for a second. He says, Derech is gematria sag kasa ayin sham. Okay, so now, like, I don't know what's sag kasa. 63 plus 161 is 224, that's true. Right? Derech is 224. And sag, samach gimel, 63, and kuf samach aleph, 161. But what does that have to do with anything? Okay, so We're not going to go into that right now. But we'll take the Rebbe's word based on his teaching from his father. Right, that derech, which is gematria sag kasa. I'll tell you just one little bit more, just so you understand what sag kasa is. Right, has to do with machshava. Has to do with the machshava, the way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu intends for things to be. The derech that Hashem. We talk about derech, right? When we talk about a person's derech in learning. What does that mean, they're derech in learning? Tell me the way they think in learning, right? So derech, your hashkafa, your mindset, right? So derech is machshava. Let me just tell you what sag kasa is, just so you know what it is. It's not going to help you very much, right now, but at least if you see it again, you'll know what it is. There are different ways to spell out yud and hey and vav and hey. How do you spell the letter yud? If I were to write out the letter yud, not just the actual letter, but if I wrote out the word yud, Yud Vav Dal, there's only one way to spell it. How do you spell the letter hey? So we said it could be Hey Aleph or Hey Hey or Hey Yud, correct. So in the Kisvei Arizal and the writings of Kabbalah and Chassidus, there's all sorts of different, you know, intentions that a person has when you say Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? So I picture Hey with a Hey Yud, or I picture Hey with a Hey Aleph. These are very deep things for big, big, big tzaddikim. Right? But one of the Miluye Havaya, as it's called, one of the expansions of Yud Kei Vav Kei, is 63. So if you, I'll just tell you how to do it. So if you do Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, you do Hey Yud, Vav can also be spelled three ways. It could be Vav Vav, or it could be Vav Aleph Vav, or it could be Vav Yud Vav. Okay, so we're going to use Vav Aleph Vav. And then the final Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the final Hey is also Hey Yud. Okay, so we have Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, that's 20. Hey, spelled Hey Yud, it's another 15, so up to 35. Vav Aleph Vav is 13, so 35 plus 13 is 48. And then the final Hey is also Hey Yud, another 15, is 63. So one of the expansions of Yud Kei Vav Kei is 63. All right, so what's 161? What's Kuf Samach Aleph? Another name of Hashem, right? That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe says, God, what is your name? What should I tell the Jews? Hashem says, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. Aleph and Hey and Yud and Hey, that's the name of Hashem. Eke, the shame Eke, Aleph, I usually say it. I said it a moment ago to teach it to you, but we usually call it the shame Eke, Aleph and Hey and Yud and Hey. So same thing, if you spell out Aleph, right, how do you spell Aleph? Aleph, Lamed, Pei, so that's 111. Hey is Hey Yud, so it's another 15, so up to 126. Yud, no, Aleph, Hey, yeah, Yud, is another 20, is 146. And then another Hey Yud, another 15, is 161. Okay? So, Sag Kasa is an expansion of Yud Kei Vav Kei, an expansion of Eke, of the Shem Eke. What does that have to do with Machshava? Why Dafka these names? Great question. Ask your local Orthodox Kabbalist, and he will guide you in this process. Okay? But Derech is Machshava. That's the code. That's the code word that the Rebbe is giving us from his father, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Derech is synonymous with the way that a person thinks. So be careful, Zachor, remember how a Malik can infiltrate your mind. A Malik is not just an enemy who tries to attack you and to kill you, right? But they pervert your thinking. This is a really important piece. It's hard to say. It's hard to say because we live in a world where our minds are so infiltrated with foreign ideas. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and he was saying to me that as he grows in his Yiddishkeit, he wants to just like be kulo Torah. Right? And I was trying to help this person to understand that maybe, you know, it's a nice aspiration, but you have to also like live in the world. And we learned that Chassidus is all about uplifting the world, right? So what does that mean? So I should go to college? I shouldn't go to college? I should learn Torah all day? Everyone should be a rabbi? Everyone should go learn in Kollel? Get a profession. You need a profession. You need to make a living. You need to pay your bills. But I don't need to study Greek literature. But maybe I find it inspiring, and maybe it makes me a better Eved Hashem, and Torah Mada, and Torah and Derech Eretz, and Torah and whatever else, Torah Vadas, and Torah whatever else you want to add to Torah. Right? You have to understand, the Rebbe is looking at a society that was supposed to be the finest, and the most cultured, and the most ethical, and he's living locked up, watching Jews all around him be murdered, men, women, and children, with such cruelty. And he doesn't have to work out a more nuanced approach to the sugya. The Rebbe says, Torah, period. Look what he writes. U'merameis ha-pasuk hazeh. Kodem shaba amalek li'lachem bachem. What the Torah is telling us is that before Amalek ever attacked you, hayu bachem anashim nemuchim, there were lowly people, simple people, shechachbas chitzonios sheispar behem amalek haya yofa beinecha. He's mamish talking about the Germans. And it's what to say about the Germans being amalek in a real sense. So there are some people who are impressed by chachmas chitzonios. They're impressed by chachmas chitzonios. They're impressed by the wisdom of the world. I can't get everything that I need from Torah, right? From the world of the Beis Medrash. So they were impressed by Amalek, that the wisdom of Amalek was impressive in their eyes, was attractive in their eyes. Ubishvil zeh, and you know what happens if you fall in love with secular culture? Your relationship with Torah is a little less fiery. There's a cooling off of your relationship with Torah. There was a cooling off of the relationship with Torah. Asher karcha baderech. Amalek is taking up space in your head. And you know what? And at this point, you know what? Says the Rebbe, maybe. It's sad. It's sad that, you know, your relationship with Torah should be diminished by anything else, by outside voices. But okay. Impressive wisdom, impressive philosophies, ideologies, culture. It is nice. So there are people who sometimes they cool off a little bit from Torah, leimor, by saying, Gam chachmas ha'olam yafeh. The world also has what to offer. It's not so bad. It's inspiring. It's beautiful. It's attractive. What are you saying? I can't learn all day. I need time to relax. All right, we can say all the svaras that we want to explain why we love the world so much. Vegam la midos tovos, and there's a lot to learn. Right? I try to watch at least one movie a week and try to, I don't just watch it for pleasure, I try to take a lesson. Right? You know, you should understand the way that this character on the show, Vegam la midos tovos, I can learn. Learn what to do, learn what not to do. Vegam bo'olam haza yesh mimenu revach, and it's good for the world. Right? It's a sign of advancement. We're no longer in the dark ages, etc., etc., etc. Until, right, the German who was giving you directions and said, isn't that so, in a very polite way, sawing off your right arm and saying, isn't that so? And again, for those who walked in a little bit late, that's not a theoretical example, that was a story that we shared at the beginning. Va'osa Hashem, she is davig lachem amalek. So Hashem sends amalek to you. Imkol chachmasa. Look at these words. These are hard words to read. But don't feel sorry that, you know, for the good guys, so to speak. The decent human beings of the world. I mean, yes, on a certain level, feel sorry for them, but not right now. Not right now. Right now, the Rebbe is saying, look what a fine, cultured, ethical, moral, scientific, logical, philosophical society can do. They can round up Jews and murder men, women, and children. Va'asa Hashem shiyaz davig lachem amalek imchol chachmaso. Amalek comes with all of its wisdom. Asher nosehu al shichmo. That it carries, so to speak, upon its shoulders, the Yigales Kol Risho. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I want to show you who Amalek really is. You want to see who Amalek really is? Hashem says, don't be so enamored. Don't fall for, you know, all that glitters isn't gold. Zua Maslibo, let me show you how sick, how perverted his heart is. Let me show you the Ritzichos Midosov, the Rikvon Chachmaso Aleichem. Let me show you how that fine society, that Hitler, Yamach Shemo, could care more about, you know, putting out food for a little bunny in his backyard, or a deer, and can listen to very fine, you know, music and read the finest literature, and then could smash a baby's head against the rock wall. So Hashem says, come, I'm going to show you who Amalek is. You want to see who Amalek is? You want to see who you're falling in love with? You think my Torah doesn't have everything that you need? Come, let me show you who they really are. It's hard. These are hard words. The Rebbe says, this is not the first time. You think this is the first time? We had many opportunities, the Rebbe said, to learn the lesson. Gam bisvarad asa Hashem king. In Spain, it was the same thing. The Jews were so enamored by the society, by the wisdom, by the culture. Shayim ibnei Yisrael asher nimshru acher chachmasim philosophia shalehem. Everyone was so taken by it. Until suddenly they decided, we don't need these Jews. And the expulsion from Spain took place. And the Jews, who were a very fine part of society, all of a sudden, we don't need you. That's it? You're just going to throw us out? Kick us out of our houses? Where are we going to go? Not our problem. Like the story I told you. Right? Bulko's recollection from Kristallnacht. My house, my Rebbe, your house is on fire. He called the fire department. The law is we don't put out fires for Jewish homes. The law. I got to follow the law. Right? Got to follow orders. Got to do what I'm supposed to do. It's a very, very scary idea. So Hashem says, I'm going to show you who Amalek really is. Va'atorah, next paragraph. Va'atorah miramezes zachor eis asher asal lecha Amalek. Don't just think about what Amalek, you know, did to the world. Realize es asher asal lecha, lecha ba'atzmecha. Realize how Amalek has harmed you at your core. Asher karcha baderech, that Amalek has corrupted your thinking. They've entered your machshava, hakriris b'machshava shalcha. You don't even realize you're trying to come up with justifications and explain why the SS soldiers, they were forced to do it. They didn't have a choice. However, there's always a choice. The choice is, fine, so kill me. I'm not going to go kill innocent people. The same thing many of the Russian soldiers are facing right now. And maybe there's a part of us that should be, you know, sympathetic. They're taking them, they're throwing them out, you know, to the front lines, and they're not even telling them what's happening, and next thing you know, right? But they still have a choice. Well, I mean, what's my choice? My choice is either I kill innocent civilians or I'm going to die. Right, so you have a choice to die and not do something evil. That's a choice. It's a terrible choice, it's a terrible situation to be in, but it's always a choice. It's still a choice. Realize what Amalek has done to you. Look how Amalek has gotten into your head. We can't make excuses. Oh, the German soldiers, oh, they didn't, they were forced to do it. They were forced to do it, you know? That famous book, Hitler's Willing Executioners, right? That grapples with this whole sugya, you know, of how much should we fault the average German, you know, who killed Jews. He was forced. He was forced. Why? Because if he didn't do it, then what? Then he would be arrested? Okay, so be arrested. So you take the bullet. You don't have to turn into a monster who murders everyone else. So look how Amalek, Shapol Bechol Limur Shechachmaso Yafa. So Amalek, German society, Spanish society, all the different societies that present themselves as so concerned with the needs, you know, of the impoverished, and so sensitive, and so cultured, and so advanced. V'kvar ata roa umargish heitiv es yofi chachmaso. Right? So Hashem says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what the chachma really is. I'm going to show you what it can create. So therefore, we're going to read this Shabbos, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You tell me I sometimes come late to shul. I space out during laning. Whatever. We can talk about that another time. This Shabbos, Parsha Zachar, we're going to make an announcement in shul. We're about to fill a mitzvah d'oraisa. Everyone have kavana. Turn on your mind. You can't do this mitzvah passively. Turn on your mind to be present and receive the reminder. Zachor, remember, when you settle into Eretz Yisrael and you have the clarity, Hashem says, I need you to remember, when I give you the promised land, Timcha Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim Lo Tishkach. Hashem says, remember, I got this, I won't forget. Hashem says, don't forget, you just told me to remember, I'm not going to forget. Hashem has to say it twice. We have to announce it in Shul, we have to make a public Kriyas HaTorah. And according to some women, are also chayav to hear it, which is a whole discussion in Halacha and Lamdas. Al Kol Pana Me'ata, so Hashem says, so you messed up. You let Amalek get the better of you. But I'm asking you, Hashem, I'm begging you, don't make the same mistake again. Don't be so naive. Now again, I know some of us are probably very offended by this Torah. What do you mean? I have a non-Jewish neighbor who's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful person. He's a good guy. And it would never again, right? Never again. It would never happen again. The world has learned the lesson. And yet Hashem screams at us and Hashem says, Zachor al tishkach, Zachor al tishkach. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. I'm not going to forget. We learned the lesson. Hashem says, I'm telling you, you need to learn it better. So what does that mean? So that means that what? So what? So the world is, everyone's evil? Every person on the street is suspect? They're going to, any moment now, someone's a secret anti-Semite who's going to murder me just for walking down the street? I'm supposed to live in fear? I'm supposed to, what, go around hating everyone? Being scared of everyone? Creating insular societies where we don't interact at all with the nations of the world. It's better for us, it's worse for us. We have to mingle, we have to be on friendly terms. These are complicated things. Halacha l'maisa, you know what I'm saying? Halacha l'maisa meaning how we function, how we live our lives. How we interact, you know, with society at large. It's a complicated thing. But Hashem says, don't be naive. Don't say it can't happen, because it can happen. It happened in Spain, says the Rebbe. It's happening right now, the Rebbe says, and Hashem is reminding us, be very, very careful. It can happen. The goal is not that we should live a life of being afraid. And the goal is not to assume that everyone who smiles at you probably has some, you know, devious intentions. But Hashem says, remember. When you settle into Eretz Yisrael, Zachor al tishkach. Al kol panim me'ata. If you didn't learn the lesson last time, from this point forward, kishiyazur Hashem v'tinotzu mimenu v'hu yimcha. What's the Rebbe saying? The Rebbe is saying, and he's not, chas v'shalom, rubbing it in. These are Jews who are suffering, and the Rebbe's Avos Yisrael was beyond. But the Rebbe is saying, he's looking to the people around him, and he's saying, some of us were a little too we're a little too attracted to the secular world, to the secular wisdom. And the Rebbe's saying it as a tefillah, if we get out of this. And the Rebbe, unfortunately, dies. The Rebbe doesn't die, he was killed. Right? But the Rebbe says, for those Jews who are going to survive, because Klal Yisrael will survive, the Rebbe's saying, let's not forget. Let's not be so wowed. We've got the best thing to offer. We don't need to be enamored by secular wisdom. If you understand what Torah is, we've got everything that we need. Al kopanim kvar teida shekol chachmas ha'olam ein ba'af kortav tov. It's a hard word to read. The Rebbe says, I want you to know that the wisdom of the world doesn't even have a kortav. We know what a kortav is. We had it back in Makos. That little drop of wine that falls into the mikvah. There's not even a kortav of good. So again, you'll take offense. You'll say, what do you mean? I have personally been inspired by the music and the writings and the wisdom of the world. And I feel that I'm a better person because of that. Not a kortav of Torah. There's nothing good that comes from the world other than the Torah. Was the Rebbe really so charedi? He couldn't like be open to the possibility that the world has something to offer. Right? So narrow-minded, right? We'd use all these lashonos. We're grappling with this. Every one of you is here because you're in college, in addition to being in yeshiva. So the Rebbe is challenging you. The Rebbe is personally challenging you to say, you don't need any of that. Yeah, but I do. And maybe you really believe that you do. And maybe I believe that you do. All right, so how do we balance this? When the Rebbe says there's not... If you're having a hard time ingesting this, I would say when the Rebbe says there's not a kortav of tov, there's not one drop of absolute, pure, unadulterated goodness. That doesn't mean that it's not a mix of tov v'ra, like that tree that we ate from long ago in Gan Eden. Eitz Hadas, tov v'ra. It's a mix. But when Chazal say in the Gemara, in Brachos on Daf, hey, ain tov ela Torah, it means the only thing that's pure good, the only thing that is 100% reliable is Torah. Because everything else is made up of the complexities of human beings. When Hashem said, Nasa Adam, let's make man. So man was made up of everything that was created before man on the earlier days of creation, which means we have a little bit of everything inside of us. The animals were created before people. That means every wild animal is inside of a person. Sometimes we can tame the beast and sometimes we can't. So when the Rebbe says, if you want pure goodness, there's only one place to get pure goodness, that's Torah. Says the Rebbe, bottom paragraph on page Nun Dalet. Yecholim heim lidrosh yofeh. They can have the finest speeches. Hitler was Yimach Shemo was a tremendous orator. A sick and perverted human being, if we can even call him that. Right? But he had a tremendous ability to darshan. One of the great darshanim of the generation. Aval b'sochiyusam maleya refesh v'sirchon. But the Rebbe says, don't be enamored by that. All that glitters is in gold. Don't be impressed. He says it's filled with refesh. Refesh means what? Literally garbage. Sirchon, it's rotten at the core. Ukishetzrichim o rakroitzim. Az kol osam achachmos vasichlios sheba da'u mikoda milibam. And when they need to, when out of necessity the law needs to change to fit a different agenda, then all of that chachma and all of that seichel shebadao. You know, badao means badu milibam, means that they dreamt up in their hearts, that they created on their own. Shebadao mikodem. All of the rules that they spent all this time creating, fashioning, right? Badao means like they imagined, that they created on their own, milibam, from their own desires. And they used it in certain times for beautiful things. Be'emes, beautiful things. Lidrosh al yofi amidos. To speak about a cultured society. And refinement of character. And sensitivity in language. Right? And an appreciation of the arts. All of that. All of that. Ata mamtziim chachmos v'sichlios. They use that same creativity, that same wisdom. Lidrosh al geneva. To justify the theft. And the gezela, and the robbery, and the ritzicha, and the murder. Vishar hazuam shehem tovos. To explain, like, we're helping the world by ridding it of the ultimate filth of those lower creatures called Jews. And they gave good drushes. And they said good svaras. Right? And people nodded along in celebrating that, oh, yes, we're going to make the world a better place. A pure race. Right? pure Germans, right? Pure Amalek, right? It's terrifying. And the Rebbe says, don't be naive to it. Last page. Lo kein hi torasenu akadosha v'chachmasa akadosha. But when you're in a world of Torah, I know we live in a very, you know, multicultural world, and we live in a world of where we have access to all sorts of wisdom and ideas, and we've seen a lot of good come from it, and it's true, right? But we have to really believe as Jews, we have to really, really believe that we have the best thing, that the Torah is the greatest thing of all. We don't need anything else. If we really can appreciate our Torah, we really don't need anything else. I know that's offensive. And you might say, Moshe Tzvi, you're a liar because I know you don't really believe that. But at our core, we have to believe it. And the Rebbe is saying, don't be naive. Don't say it's not, it could never. We all feel that way. That's how they felt. And throughout history, that's how people have felt. And Hashem is screaming at us. And Hashem made a mitzvah d'oraisa. Zachor al tishkach, I'm begging you. That's another Zos, by the way. Zachor al tishkach. Right? Zion aleph tav. You asked me about 408 yesterday.
Yeah.
So that's Zos. Zachor al tishkach is Rashi Teva Zos. V'zois atar. It's the whole Torah. Remember this. Don't forget a malik. Lo maisa adam hi. The Torah is not the creation of man. Shetisakim kafi rotzona adam ritzono v'sichlo. That can be titakim. That can be twisted according to the whims of a person. The manipulative seichel of man. V'lo b'chlal seichel reikonihi. And it's not created from a fallible mind. Rak etzem nishama meha'aras nishmas shakai. What is the Torah? It's synonymous with Hashem. It's one with Hashem. It's the Ratzon Hashem. It's Hashem in written form, kiviyachol, as the Gemara alludes to and the Baal Tanya explained. V'chol mitzvoseh chukos Hashem eina. And therefore, like we said, every element of Torah is a chok. That's why, by the way, after we defeat Amalek, right, we come to a Parshas Parah. What's a Parshas Parah? Paraduma. That's sort of the aftermath, right, in the Dalet Parshas. We have Shkalim, right, we have Zachar, we have Parah and Achodesh. So part of our defeat over Amalek is getting comfortable with saying that the Torah is true. I don't need to explain anything to anyone. It's all a chok. It's all a paraduma. What do you mean? But I thought the Jews have a lot of explanations for their mitzvahs. We do, but that's not the starting point. The starting point is God said so. And if you believe that it's an objective truth and it's an objective goodness, then I don't need to say anything else. That all the mitzvahs are chok. Chukas Hashem heina. Bein im gam ha'odam mevin besichlo ubein im eno mevin. Adelo yalda. Whether I understand it or whether I don't understand it. Ha mitzvos mitzvos. I like that line. Ha mitzvos are mitzvos. Period. Maybe that's a new understanding of schar mitzvah mitzvah. You know what the reward for a mitzvah is? The mitzvah itself. What do you mean the mitzvah itself? The fact that I know that I'm doing the right thing. Because everything else I do in this world, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. I'll give you a simple example. Right? Eat this food, it's very healthy. One generation later, do not eat that food, it's terribly dangerous. One generation later, eat this food, it's very healthy. Because I have no idea. I have no idea if I'm doing something good or if I'm doing something bad. But by a mitzvah, the schar mitzvah, the reward, the enjoyment of the mitzvah is the fact that it's a mitzvah. I know I'm doing the right thing because it's Hashem's will. Ve'ein reshus l'shum ish lahar acharein. It's not, we have no permission to question them. U'mikol shekein la'akim chas v'chalil menu kechut asara. Not to deviate from it even a hair's breadth. V'halomda, and therefore one who studies it, u'makayma, and one who lives it, mistabik em kol gufo nafsho, ruach v'neshama, then his entire being, his body, his spirit, is filled with it. Hachagam hu roa ma'at es tovasa. Maybe in a way that he perceives why it's good. V'gam hu chas v'chalila lo yachbos lasos ra. And maybe it helps him to distance himself from evil, as is found in the Svar Mekadoshim. But the baseline of mitzvos is Hashem said so. And I can't argue with that. Right? That I can't argue with. If the world says, do this, I can say, I'm not going to do that. Why? It's the law. I don't know. Sometimes the law can be very dangerous. And again, even saying that is dangerous, right? So how do we know? So maybe we should, I don't know. Maybe I should just drive through stop signs because of the law. How do I know? Maybe they're manipulating me. Maybe it's a malik. This is not an easy thing. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to just give like a fiery muster schmooze here and then make love. But the Rebbe's sitting, you know, in a ghetto. And he's watching sweet, beautiful Jewish people murdered for no crime other than being a Jew. That's the law. It's the law of the land. So the Rebbe is saying, don't be so naive. understand what a Amalek can do and how quickly a Amalek can turn. And he ends off by going back to our opening question. What was our opening question? Why does it say, David, why does it say eradicate Amalek mitachas hashamayim, from beneath the heavens? It should say eradicate Amalek min haaretz, on the earth. Beneath the heavens? What does beneath the heavens mean? So what was the Rebbe's first answer? The heavens is called the throne of Hashem. And Amalek blocks the throne of Hashem. So if I remove Amalek mitachas hashamayim, then Hashem can ascend to his throne. Okay. But what else could tachas mean? When I say that this is tachas this, it can mean under or it can mean instead of. Right? I'm exchanging this for that. So listen to what the Rebbe says. Very beautiful, very powerful. Timcha azecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim. There may be a part of you that is called Amalek. There may be a way of thinking, a way of living, an appreciation for certain ideas that is really not authentically Jewish. And again, we all grapple with it at different stages of life. And I was zocha one time to spend Shabbos in Mezhvish. And I was zocha on that trip, I was asked by Rav Mo Kaplan to speak at Shal HaShuris, which Shal HaShuris in the Baal Shem Tov Shul. I say, Baruch Hashem, I was zocha one time to say Torah in the Baal Shem Tov Shul at Shal HaShuris on Shabbos. And one of the things that I spoke about, and I don't remember most of it, I'll probably check my notes, but someone who recently got engaged, who was on that trip, said to me recently, he said, you know, Moshe, you said something on that trip that I think about all the time. I said, what was it? So he said, you know, being in the, walking in the footsteps of the tzaddikim and seeing, right, trying to reattach ourselves, both in mind and in body, by being in the place, you know, standing in the place where the Baal Shem Tov once stood, where Rabbi Nachman played his little playground in the backyard over there as a little kid. You know, as a descendant of the Baal Shem Tov, walking in the place where the Kedushas Levi once, you know, sat or spoke or thought or whatever. So one of the things that I said at Shal HaShuris, I said, you know, this trip is an opportunity, being so connected to walk in the footsteps of Tzaddikim, it's an opportunity for us to find, to identify something in our life that is not authentically Jewish. And the lashon that I used was to bury it in the Ukraine. To leave it here, leave it behind. I don't know, I can't, like, sports is really big by me, like, I can't, you know. I'm going to be one of these guys who, like, as always, you know, some people, they follow sports when they're kids, and then they move on to more adult things. Right? So I said, everyone has to pick something that they feel that they have in their life, that they don't really need in their life, and bury it in Mezhvish, just leave it behind. And come back, and from this point forward, leave that, I don't need this. Maybe there are other things I still need, maybe I still do need, you know, or, in quotes, need, right? I still feel that I need to follow sports, or I need to still watch TV, or I need to whatever. And I know it's a Goyisha thing. I know it's not really what I need, but like I'm not ready to let go of it yet. But I said everyone has to take something that you know that like it's holding me back in my avodas Hashem, and just bury it here. Just leave it here, right? In your mind, just bury it. Leave it behind. Let it stay in the Ukraine forever. Pick a rock, you know, and emotionally like just throw it under that tree, and never see it again. I don't know if I'll ever go back to Mezhvish again. Who knows what's going to be over there? But to be able to take something of a Amalek and to leave it behind, to ask yourself, what is this? Is this? Do I really need this? Is this Torah? Is this? Right? And what are the ramifications of this? Again, we're talking about good things that very quickly became bad things. A culture and society that very quickly became the enemies of not just the Jewish people, but really all of humanity. The Nazis, Yimach Shema. So he says, Timcha ezecher Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. Last paragraph. Ki yeshnam anoshim hanechashalim acharecha. Amalek again targets the weaklings. And the Rebbe here is talking about spiritual weaklings. A person who feels that Torah doesn't have it all. That's a weakness. That's a weakness. That we don't think that Hashem gave us a Torah, Hashem Tamima, is a weakness. So there are weak people. Hainu osam sha'anan paltam. Like it says in the Medrash, that who did Amalek attack? How did they attack us? We were surrounded in the wilderness. We were protected by the Anani HaKavod on all sides. Right? So who did Amalek fight against? Interesting question. The Medrash says there were some Jews, because of their misbehavior, got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod. They were outside of the Iron Dome, so to speak. You know, so Amalek attacked them. Shekvar heldu es chochmas Amalek chas v'chalila el tachas hashamayim. And here the Rebbe says, I'll tell you, you know what it means? erase Amalek mitachas Hashemayim? Maybe you've exchanged Shemayim. What's Shemayim? Hashem, Torah, your own neshama. Right? Maybe you've traded, by the way, Hashemayim is gematria neshama. Maybe you've traded your soul for what? You've given up something that's real. You've given up Torah. You've given up Dveikus. You've given up Tefillah. You've given up your mind to what? To whatever. To whatever you're thinking about too much, which is not Hashem and not Torah and not mitzvos. Shachas v'chalila b'makom, in the place of v'tachas ha-Torah, hi lahav diltia, maybe you've replaced it with Amalek. So timcha zecher Amalek mitachas ha-Shamayim. Maybe you've adopted a lifestyle that's more Amalek, mitachas, instead of, like David said, instead of Shemayim. You could be living in Shemayim. A Jew could be in this world and can be out of this world at the same time. Could be living a Shemayim dika life. But you've exchanged it for an Amalek life. So Timcha, erase Amalek, mitachas, instead of Shemayim. Everything you chose instead of Torah, instead of mitzvos, instead of Vodas Hashem, exchange it, make the trade. Trade back. L'chein al kol panim. And therefore, like the Rebbe said, as he's sitting here surrounded by Amalek, and he himself will die at the hands of Amalek, a modern day Amalek, the Rebbe's saying, we have to learn the lesson. Zachor al tishkach. Zachor al tishkach. We have what we need amongst our people. It doesn't mean that we have to hate everyone in the world, but we shouldn't be so enamored by the world. We shouldn't be so impressed by the world. Al kol panim ata bira oischa. When you see this, when it's clear to you, again, like the Pasuk says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, when you settle in, that's when the Torah says, then go out and fight Amalek. You need a certain clarity. You need to regain control of your mind in order to know this truth. Timcha zecher Amalek, eradicate the remembrance of Amalek. Eradicate the place that Amalek has taken. Mitachas HaShemayim. In place of your relationship with God. In place of your relationship with Torah. In place of your relationship with your own neshama. Okay, so Chavrut's a very heavy piece, but it's a very real piece. And again, it's not only real because it's objectively real from a global perspective, but the Rebbe was mamish living in it. The Rebbe was looking at a society that could never do this, could never round up 6 million Jews and murder them. But then they did. So the Rebbe's saying, Hashem warned you, Zachor al tishkach. Again, it's not about living in fear. I don't think it's about living in fear and looking over your shoulder that everyone's a closet anti-Semite who's about to stab you in the back. I don't think. But the Rebbe is also saying, let's not be naive to what a system of laws or living of culture can become if it needs to, if it wants to. And if it doesn't have the objective truth of Chachmas Elokis, of the wisdom of Hashem, then there's no guarantees that it's Tov, and there's no guarantees that it's Emes. Yeah.
Shemayim and Neshama,
I says, yeah, Shemayim is Neshama.
I think we hovered over that too quickly. I think that's the essence of this whole ending.
Yeah.
There are people who are kind of like replacing their Neshama with something else.
Right.
And they're living for that.
Right.
To serve that.
That's right. And we're looking for that chiyas. I want to feel that sense of, you know, what's going to fill my life? And the answer is, right, my neshama is my life. And if all of my aspirations are to enhance the quality of my guf, of my gashmius, so then, you know, then I've exchanged tachas ha-shamayim. I've replaced my shamayim, the shamayim inside of myself, with hevel avalim. Hurts to say, but it's true. Yeah.
Probably would say first, the Yom Kippur the other day that was very... relating exactly this piece of like, if you take Aish out of Yisrael, it's
Amalek. That's right. If you take the Aish, right. Yisrael minus Aish is Amalek. It's Gematria Amalek, yeah.
And just this whole piece in general is very applicable to just like modern day America.
Yeah.
I don't want to get specifics, but like, you just see so many things that like, it was hit so moral, and then you find out it's like the exact same
thing. Yeah.
Like, I remember, I think it was Eli who always said that, like, with Martin Luther King Jr., like, he was like, whatever, so moral, and everything, that was your first thought. I don't know if it's like too crazy.